Hello, good evening and welcome back to In The Know, brought to you by The Racing Post and Boyle Sports. Yeah, you anti-post punters, we're not too far away now, are we? Post-Valentine's Day, what did you love about this weekend? Was there anything at Haydock? Was it good to see John Bond finally get that proper stamina test and come out on top? And what do you like about our four races that we're going to be looking at tonight? We're going to be playing multiple entry bingo as the Ryanair and Cheltenham Gold Cup will be on our agenda this evening as well. We'll also be looking at the Mare's Chase and the Albert Bartlett. That's right, the race you can barely pick the winner of. Two hurdles from home, we're going to be looking and trying to pick the winner 4 weeks away. So let's see how that goes. My name is Ross Briley, and another hour of hopefully thoughtful content that might bubble a bet or two to the front of the brain. It is live and interactive, so do say hello on the chat and let us know what you thought of the weekend and what you think of the races that we're going to be covering. Hello to Charlie, to Tom, to Scotty, to Jason, to Martin, to Rumpinghome, and to everyone else who is watching. And hello to our panel this evening as well. Making it to the studio just in time. Oh no, wait, he forgot to leave his house on time. But it's okay, because even the head and shoulders of Paul Keighley is better than no Paul Keighley at all. There he is.
Good evening, mate. Sorry about that, Ross. Making the lurch again.
That's all right. These things happen.
Too busy having a study up for the weekend and completely lost track of time.
That's all right, mate. It's not like there's 7,000 things going on at the moment, is it? There's a lot to consider. But hey, look, you are Mr. Tippy, and we can see it just behind you over your left shoulder. Can we just move your head slightly? There you go. Look at that.
God knows how long ago that is. That was freezing. It was filmed in May. Me in an ice cream van, but it was about 2 degrees. And the only thing that disappointed me about the day was there wasn't actually any ice cream in the machine. I never got to pull one.
What, that's surely the whole point, isn't it?
I know, yeah, I was devastated.
Oh, unbelievable. Not even a box of flakes in the corner?
No, nothing at all, mate.
Oh, well, never mind. Sam said he will put the Mr. Tippy video link in the description if you haven't seen it already, so we can all watch that afterwards. But Tom Siegel is also in his usual spot. Have you ever gone to the racecourse and dispensed tips from an ice cream van yourself, Tom? Or do you leave that to Keels?
No. Like most things, Ross, I get out of stuff like that and Keels ends up doing it. So beautiful.
Yeah.
Can
you imagine how different your career would have been, Tom, if you didn't have Keels to just shovel all that stuff onto?
To do all my work for me. It'd be a nightmare. I owe him 1 million pints, but I think he's probably had 1 million already. So
yeah,
couldn't put him up anymore.
But no ice cream. We'll have a look back at the weekend in a second. But it was slightly lower key. I think the spring festival lull is here slightly. But that's quite nice. It's enabling us to sort of filter the thoughts a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was off last week, so I didn't watch any racing. You're going to ask me what I thought of the race. I haven't seen it, to be honest. And the reason was I had a week off. I was back and forward from East Grinstead for most of the time and watching Reading play football and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, it was, as you say, a low-key week. Good week to have a week off. Not even look or think about a horse as long as, you know, for a week or so, and back into it today.
Do you not even when you're off? I mean, obviously you don't look, but you can't switch your brain off completely. Do you ever just have random thoughts? You go, oh, that might win the Albert Bartlett while you're making a sandwich or something.
Yes, often, because it's my job and it's what I'm interested in, what I like. So, of course, there'll be a time when I think, that horse might win the Grand National, or that horse, you know, why hadn't I thought of that before? Do you know what I mean? That happens all the time. Yeah. It's not good for your bank balance, that, because you end up, it's so frustrating because you have to have a few quid on. Yeah. And then none of them come to fruition.
Yeah, although weirdly, I mean, so the last one that happened, I Am Maximus, I think, was the last one last year. I remember just watching. I don't think I was working. I just remember watching, switching the telly on and him winning it. Was it Fairy House when he won the Grade One?
Yeah.
Was it? And thinking, crikey, is that I Am Maximus? But he's bolted up. Oh, God, that'll win a Grand National, that. And then, you know, not having a penny on. So it's.
You didn't have a penny on?
I didn't have a penny on, no.
Ross.
But if I'd had a penny on,
you're making so much from all your new columns everywhere, Ross. You don't need to have all these pennies on.
Well, look, someone's got to write. You know, like I said, if you had the week off, someone's got to fill it, haven't they? We've got space to fill, space to
Very
fill.
Very good job. I enjoyed it.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, I appreciate it. It's not. Do you know what? It's really helped as well. And this is the other thing, is, again, and this is why I like these shows, this is why I like writing the things down. It is amazing when you speak it out loud, or you test your opinions, or you write something down, and your brain processes it. It's like you can just leave it behind, move on, and you learn from it and crack on, rather than it clogging up the brain box.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. I totally agree. So you get it out there. It's like, you know, it's like therapy, isn't it, in a way? Yeah. Like people go to therapy, they just talk about it, get things out, and it's gone.
Yeah, we should do that, Kiels. We should have like a punter's therapy kind of thing, where you just get to use 20 minutes with someone else. You can ring up and you go, "What's up, mate?" And you'd be like, I didn't bat the winner of the Grand National. And you'd be like, "Oh, tell me about it." And you just get it off your chest.
I'm in a stage of life now, mate, where I forget something 5 minutes later anyway, so it doesn't matter to me anymore.
Oh, well, blissful ignorance. Anyway, we'll have a look back at the weekend in just a second, but don't forget the show is, of course, sponsored by Boyle Sports. So if you do not have an account with Boyle Sports already, you can get a new customer exclusive £40 in free bets when you join and bet £10. And you also get best odds guaranteed on singles and multiples for all UK and Irish racing. So click the link in the description below and sign up if you haven't done so already. Right, let's have a look back at the weekend. Again, not as much to talk about as we did the week before, and certainly not as much post-DRF. There were some nice performances, some nice horses. Maybe not as many Cheltenham impactful performances, but, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I mean, one of the most impressive horses from last week, I thought Tom was Bossman Jack at Chepstow the other day. He looks a lovely type. But I've got other notes down here. Russell and Scudamore bouncing back with actually getting horses over the line. Obviously, John Bond winning. What did you like?
Well, it was honestly, as I said, I haven't seen too much of it. But what yes. I would, when I in my... Just the trainers coming back. Venetia, I thought it was really nice to see her have a couple of winners. I'm a massive fan of Venetia's, the way she does things. So pleased to see her have a couple of winners. And as you say, the Russell Scudamore team as well, having the treble, wasn't it? So that was quite. I mean, I'm coming towards Cheltenham. It's nice to see, you know, some of our top trainers getting back in form. That's what I would take out the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Kiels, I better come to you for this then. What did you make of the...
I tried.
No, you did a great job. I appreciate it.
Don't give it to me, Tom. Thanks. Yeah, thanks again.
I mean, to be fair, you did say I've had last week off, and I said, what did you like last week, Tom? So fair enough. Right then, Kiels, let's go through the notes that I've got here. First off, Russell and Scudamore and Venetia as well. Again, slightly differing circumstances in the sense that Venetia's horses have been running deplorably, whereas Russell and Scudamore have been rattling crossbar after crossbar, but there must be a sense of relief for both of them. Does that change your mind about, in particular, the Russells and Scudamore? They'll have a few chances at the Stone Festivals.
I mean, I do. I opposed some of theirs at Kelso the other day. You know, I'm one of those people. I'm very, very good at getting on the opposed bandwagon just when it turns around, and I managed to do that. And I was actually, you know, I was actually pretty impressed with King of Answers, you know. Mm. I thought that was a really good run. He's only seven. Is it going to surprise you if he lines up in the Ultima?
No, I mean, not good. I mean, again, given connections always seem to find one to line up in the Ultima, absolutely
yeah,
not.
He's come out, he's jumped like a stag from the front. He's obviously going to go up a fair bit for that. You know, could be as much as 10, but, you know, he looks like a horse that's pretty well handicapped.
Yeah, absolutely.
Certainly looked like it then. And if the yard's coming in the form this time... it could be one, couldn't it? It could be interesting.
He was also one of the only horses who actually won when they were out of form as well, which I always think is a half-decent pointer. But anyway,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I thought there were definitely some interesting results for Cheltenham as well as maybe Aintree even. I was pretty impressed with Dalston Ladd, yep. For instance, in the Prestige Novices Hurdle, the Albert Bartlett trial. But he's entered in it, but Dan Skelton said afterwards he's going to Aintree. Skelton would probably also take unexpected parties at Aintree for that hunter chase. I doubt he'd go to Cheltenham. And he absolutely gagged up, didn't he? He looked really good. Mm. And he's obviously been a very, very talented horse in his time. He could be one for the Aintree hunter chase. Far as Cheltenham's concerned, I thought Manello Emperor was pretty much of an eye catcher in the attempts qualifier.
Yep.
He's qualified in second. He's been beaten far enough to go up barely anything. He's had a run in Britain, so he's already got his British mark, which is 129. can't have done much damage to that. He'll get in easily off that these days. That was quite interesting for Emmett Mullins. So, yeah, there's been some quite decent performances, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Dolson Ladd, I mean, every time I look up, the Skeletons are having another staying hurdle win, aren't they? I mean, I'm trying to look. In 2026 alone, the handicap hurdlers, they've run 20 horses 2.5 miles or further. They've won with 7 of them. They're the ones, 20, they're 7 from 20 with horses at single figures in those races, so fancied horses in those. 1.46 actual expected, 10 quid level stake profit. So, you know, your Dolson Ladd, your Apai de Noms, your top guy, obviously disappointed a little bit the weekend, but have bolted up before that. So, look, they've always been good at handicap hurdlers, but I do feel like that they're getting more stay in hers, that their horses are just significantly stronger at the finish than they have been in years, I think.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. But there's, there were other runs on the day that I think may have pointed towards some other horses in the future. I mean, I'm thinking the Jukebox Kid and Montregard here at Ascot, both winning. Yeah. They were first and second in a handicap chase the time before. Now, the Jukebox Kid has won the Reynoldstown, might not be the best Reynoldstown, but he won it well enough. Montregard was second in that. The horse I thought should have been second was Indoor. But he didn't run in the 100 grand handicap chase that Montregard won quite easily off a £6 higher mark. Now, Indoor stayed on the same mark of 134. He hasn't been entered for the big 3 mile handicap chase at Kempton. I'm wondering, A, first of all, is there something wrong with him? But as he made the 5 day entries for Ascot, I doubt it. I wonder whether they're thinking, let's be another one that goes for the ultimate. Mark of 134 would have got in last year. He was sixth in the National Hunt chase. Under David Maxwell, probably didn't quite stay. So he's another one that comes out of Ascot without having done anything, but he's had his form stood up very well.
Yeah, okay, yeah. For Fergal O'Brien. Other ones from the other week, I mean, Juby Ball, again, another one at Shepstone the other day, bolted up. I thought he could be a grand annual horse, possibly. But and from the weekend, when we talked about the Windsor handicap hurdle that Tom took the winner of, the one I took out of it was Lou Dorr, who stepped up in trip for the first time, and I thought he got home really well for a first try at 3 miles. And I know it wasn't much of a race either day, but he keeps taking steps forward in leaps and bounds.
He does keep going forward, doesn't he? But it really wasn't much of a race. I think we've given him an RPR of 1.46 for it, which, you know, you'd be hard pushed to say it was any better than that, wouldn't it? With the, you know, the runner-up's giving him £4, rated 1.41, the third's only rated 1.33.
Yeah, I almost felt like he might, again, given that you want sort of grade two or three horses to win most handicaps now, I don't know what mark he'd gone up to, but I don't know what the 3 mile handicap hurdle at Aintree is, or.
But that could be interesting, couldn't it? Yeah.
And then the only other one was Storm Heart. I mean, I do like this horse. He won again the other day, and beating a couple of decent types, Fire and Glory and Work Ahead. I know Cowabunga might have needed the run as well, but you know, he was in the mix with Car GC and Majra back in the day, and obviously he was off the track for a little bit. But
yeah, I bagged him at the post, I think, for the county last year. I was absolutely convinced he was going to run a big race. Never turned up, did he? So yeah, he's obviously a very decent horse. Be interesting to see where he goes. And it was, you know, he did really pick up after the last, didn't he?
He did, yeah, and I like that's what I love to see a horse finish the race off like he has the last couple of starts. And then just quickly,
Ross, can I just give you one?
Yes,
I did watch. I did watch the racing on Tuesday at Ayr, and I thought the Irish horse Apache King was incredibly impressive.
Yes,
I thought he was really, really good, and I thought he put himself on the fringe of Albert Bartlett. I know we'll talk about it later, but I thought he's going to stay forever, that horse, and his bumper form worked out really well. He absolutely hammered Court Cave. Was it? I can't remember. The one that was second in the River Don, trained by Ruth Jefferson in a bumper.
Country
in
Code.
In a point to point. In a point Country to point. Code. Yeah. Country Code. He absolutely battered that in a point, I think it was. And I just thought he, you know, making his hurdles debut, he jumped really well and finished really strongly. It's the type of horse that could run well in the Albert part of that.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Albeit, I mean, and again, given he's only run once over hurdles, I did sort of think slightly like Dolson Ladd that the 3 miler at Aintree might be a more of an option, but you never know. You never know. Okay, and then the only other horse to mention, Keels, would be Alexi. Again, how good? Again, it's not good horses not beating a lot, but still quite hard to figure out just how good he is.
Yeah, it's one of those, isn't it? I mean, I don't think he wants the ground as bad as that, but the runner up definitely doesn't either. Yeah, he did what he had to do. It's very hard to look really you know, impressive on ground as bad as that, isn't it? But, you know, he hasn't, you can't say he's absolutely enhanced his claims, can you? But he's entitled to go for a very open champion.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. All right. So as for the chat, Jason Farnish has Apache Tribe back to the 25s. Lovely stuff, Jason.
Well done, Jace.
I like the fact that he said it almost as if he didn't know. Oh, is it? Oh, that Apache Tribe, is it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think about that, 25s. As for the rest, what have we got? No drama this end, has nothing to worry about from the Irish side. Soft ground banker, says Richard. If Hayti Kalorza wins a Gold Cup, it must go down as the worst ever. But Tuco Benedicto Pacifico Juan M3224 thinks he's got a great chance. So thanks for getting in touch and using your full allocation of letters for your screen name. Right, let's crack on to our four races then for tonight. Ryanair, Gold Cup, Mayor's Chase and Albert Bartlett. But let's start off with the big one. The Cheltenham Gold Cup, where Factor File is currently in at 7-2, Django Bay 9-2, the Jukebox Man 5-1, Gaelic Warrior 6-1, and Galopin Deschamps 8s with Hayti Kalorza 12-1, Spallanz Tower 14s. I know the way you're thinking, and bigger prices the rest. And once again, we're not only playing multiple entry bingo, we're also playing not currently entered bingo. And Factor File is 7-2. Of course, if he turns up. Last year's winner, of course, was supplemented for the same owners, and is currently a 14-1 shot after barely lifting a leg all winter. So, look, are we, Tom, in the same ballpark as Lossiemouth here, where that price is we'd love to see it, rather than we are actually going to see it?
Oh, I don't know. I don't understand Irish trainers. They seem absolutely bonkers to me. They either say, we're going to run in the race, we're going to win, or we're not going to run in, you know what I mean? Or we're going to go for the big run. I don't know what they're thinking. You know, if they think they're going to run in, if Willie Mullins, as he always says, we're going to run in the race, we think we're going to win, he's not going to run in this, is he? Yeah. But I think he will run in this, because I don't see any reason not to. It's the Cheltenham Gold Cup. It's the best race of the year. It's the race everyone wants to win. I know GP's won it a load of times, but this is best chance. You know, you win the Irish Gold Cup, you've got to run in the Cheltenham Gold Cup, haven't you? You don't go back for the Ryanair. It's absolutely bonkers. I hope he runs, because I think, I want to see the best horses running in the best races, and I think he's the best horse. Two, will he stay? I don't know. So it makes it sort of quite a nice betting race, because I think he'll be 3 or 4 to 1. I think he'll run. I think he's got a very good chance. I mean, as I said, at the start of the year, when we did our last year's Cheltenham, and we said, what's going to win Cheltenham the following year? I put up Factor File to win the Gold Cup, and I looked like a complete Charlie when it ran in the 2-mile race at Punchestown next time, thinking it's more like to run in the Champion Chase than the Gold Cup. Here we are with it favourite for the Gold Cup. Who knows? Who knows? I've got a few quid on him at 10-1 after last year, so I'd like him to run. Of course I would, but I don't know. I don't know. What do you think, Keels?
I've genuinely got no idea. I mean, if you read the comments afterwards and the Mullins stable tour, it sounds like he wants to run Factor File and Gaelic Warrior in a Ryanair, doesn't it? Like, you know, that's the one thing that definitely won't happen, is it?
No.
But, you know, it's not hugely odds against that they both come here, is it?
No.
I mean, not really.
They definitely can, which we'll, you know, we'll discuss the Ryanair later, but which will make that a fascinating race. But this is also a fascinating, and it's great to have a Gold Cup where there are loads of plausible winners, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, if you have a look at last year's race, I mean, last year's second favourite is 40-1 now and won't run. Last year's fourth favourite is 50-1, probably will run, has got no chance. And now we've got loads of horses in single-figure prices, all that you could make some sort of case for. I've changed my mind about 100 times. I like them all, and that's the problem, isn't it? Like, you know what I mean? Will Factor File stay? That's the big question mark, isn't it? I mean, he looks so talented in Ireland, didn't he? Then when he's on his A game, nothing's actually got near him, has it?
That is true. I mean, we've had no British winner since 2018, so it's nice the fact that we've got, you know, a proper couple of really strong candidates in as Django Bay and the Jukebox Man as well. Then you throw in the last horse to come from the King George to win this is Long Run. So again, that muddies the water slightly, but then I do think, like you said about Factor File, when he's on his A game, but like I said to you, I think a couple of weeks ago, Tom, there's a bit of bounce bingo going on this year of horses running on a massive race, that they put in a huge performance, massive number, and then next time out, they can't quite replicate it, and a horse who disappointed last time then peaks. So is there a possibility that Factor Foul's done that already this season? You know, his run first time out to Kempton, that was a big step backwards, and then he bounced back at Leopardstown. Is there a possibility that regardless of whether he stays, regardless of what race he runs in, what are the chances that he does leave his race behind a little bit at Leopardstown?
No, there is a chance. Of course there's a chance that could happen in any race in any time, can't it? There is that chance. Personally, I'd hate trying to guess that because you end up second-guessing yourself, because it's all, at the end of the day, we want the best horses tend to win the best races. So if he bounces, and of course he's got no chance, what do I think about the rest of them? I'm like Keels. Like every 2 minutes I change from Django Bay. I think the British might win this. I don't, if Factor Foul doesn't run and there's a chance he doesn't stay. Everyone loves Gaelic Warrior. I'm not the biggest Gaelic Warrior fan. He does too much wrong for me in his races. He either pulls or goes right-handed or goes left-handed. I know, look, he's got very high-class form. But I think the three up-and-comers, the three we don't know enough about, and the three that could take the step up, the Django Bay, the Jukebox Man, and Haiti Calore. Mm. I mean, Haiti Calore gets a lot of bad press, as we've just witnessed from your thing there. All he does to me is win races. Yeah. Every time he runs, whether it's the Welsh National, the Irish National, whatever, he tends to win, and he wins blimmin' easily. So I don't know where his ceiling is. No one knows where his ceiling is. He could easily... I mean, look, you look through the record of Cheltenham Gold Cup winners, most of them have run in handicaps, or a lot of them have run in handicaps.
Well, I mean, he's a better horse than I know the way you think him was before he won a Gold Cup, isn't he?
Of course he was. Of course he is. Of course he's done a lot more than I know you think where you're thinking had before. He's, you know, we've got loads of them. Long Run, Native River, Denman, Synchronised. What's he done that's different to them? Probably more than most of them, you know, in terms of what they did in handicaps, not Denman, obviously. But he's done a lot in a short space of time, Haiti Calore. So he's right in there. Whether 8-1, that's probably a little bit short on actual ratings and form. But he stays. He's won at Cheltenham. He jumps. He could easily win it.
Well, he's only a disappointment, Tom. And this is the thing. I mean, we need to remember that Haydock came like, what, 2.5, 3 weeks after his return at Newbury. And every single other run he's had, there's a month between. He wins, he has a month off. He wins, he has a month off. I think they got a bit excited, or they did too much at Newbury. I don't think it was the best idea to go from Newbury to Haydock like that. And I think that's backfired. But look how well he's bounced back. I mean,
every time I watch him, Ross, he's one of those horses where I think, oh, he's all right. And then I watch the last furlong or the last two fences, and I think that is a seriously top-class horse. Yeah. He's brilliant from the last to the line every time he runs. Go back to the Welsh National. You think that horse is coming to get him off top weight? And by the line he's pulling away, it'd have been 10 lengths clear in another half furlong. Yeah. I just think he's one of those horses that people have no idea how good he is. I think he could win it. But whether 8-1... I think he might be bigger on the day. If all those run, he'll be a lot bigger on the day, I think. I think you get double figures, especially if Factor Foul and Gaelic Warrior turn up, because I think they'll be short price favourites at the top of the market. But you can easily make a case for the Jukebox Man. Of course you can. And Django Bay.
Well, we've got time to talk about... Let's talk about them individually, Keels, because, I mean, a bit like Haiti Calore in a sense, the Jukebox Man for me, I've never fancied him for any races running until now. And now I suddenly look at him and think, all the horses he beat at Kempton are Frank the Four. He's got Dunn on the line at Cheltenham, so we know he's going to handle the track. I mean, I'm starting to fall a little bit in love with Ben Pauling as well. Same with Haiti Calore. Every time I look up, Ben Pauling's training another winner.
Absolutely. Quality. He's a quality trainer, and this is a quality horse, isn't it? I don't think there's any doubt about that. It was a horse I probably took a while to warm to. But, I mean, the one thing he does is travel, isn't it? Mm. Like, you know, he travels and he's jumping slick and, you know, and he fought back. He looked like he was going to get swallowed up at Kempton, didn't he? He fought back. He's got courage. He's got the lot. He's one of only, I think, two horses in the top nine in the betting that aren't Cheltenham Festival winners, believe it or not. But he's, you know, near as damn it was, wasn't he? He was only beating ahead in the Albert Bartlett. So he handles the track. There is loads to like about him, isn't there? You know, I mean, it's one of those where, you know, you asked me if I could give you my 1-2-3, I could probably give you a different 1-2-3 tonight than I'd give you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? At the moment, I'm very much positive on him. But for how long that'll be, I don't know. I mean, because you can make cases for loads.
Yeah. What do we make of Galloping Deschamps then, Kiels? Because look, again, we talk about Hayter Kahlaur. Hayter Kahlaur's last two RPRs are both higher than what Galloping's run to this year. It, obviously, again, quite the opposite in the sense that everyone loves Galloping Deschamps, of course. I mean, what an incredible career he's had. However, if this is such an open, competitive and high standard for a Gold Cup, how is a horse of his age going to beat them all?
Well, this is the problem, isn't it? I mean, the last 10-year-old winner of a Gold Cup was yonks and yonks ago. Cloudy something, wasn't it? And, you know, horses like Denman, horses like Quarto Star, they've all failed to do so. Like, you know, I mean, and so it's not going to be a surprise if he can't. Now, I was prepared to forgive him that first time out running the behind Appadale Fury. I thought that was really, really good first time out, as good as he's ever run first time out, really. And he was very strong in the market, but he was very weak at Leopardstown, wasn't he? I mean, you know, the rumours were going around that, you know, he came up a bit light. He wasn't that impressive in his work earlier in the week and such. They were the rumours that were flying around the track. They filtered through to his price because he was a lot shorter than 15-08 earlier in the week. And, you know, the money came for the front two, the first and second packs, Bold Gaelic Warrior. So maybe, you know, maybe he bounced a little bit. But, yeah. You know, maybe he can bounce back. I do think he'll need proper soft ground to win. I wouldn't rule it out desperately. He'd be probably at the bottom of the most likely winners, if you know what I mean, in the betting. I would possibly put him a little bit further down on what he's done this year, but he is a two-time Gold Cup winner and a three-time Cheltenham Festival winner should be four, isn't he? So, you know, he's got that in his locker.
Okay, what about...
Don't fancy him at all, Ross. I don't fancy him at all.
Well, again, with my heart says, oh, what a horse, but my head says, no chance.
That's exactly how I feel about it. Yeah. You know, this is a better race. He's up against loads of... Last year's race was a complete shambles of a race at the end of the day, wasn't it? I think it completely fell apart. This, you got four or five. You know, you got Factor Farland, Django Bay and the Jukebox Man and Gaelic Warrior and Hayter Kahlaur all in there again. I mean, he's going to have to be better.
Yeah.
Well, not quite as better, but he's going to have to be as good as he was when he first won it to beat that lot, I think.
And hope that no one improves as well, which is the issue. So talk to me about Django Bay then, because again, he's a funny one. If you just look at his profile again, it's hard to figure out how good he is sometimes, isn't it? Because, you know, he can look magnificent. He can pull rabbits out of a hat like he did at Cheltenham last year. But again, the key thing for Django Bay is he's 2 from 2 at Cheltenham, Tom, and he gets up that hill, as we saw last year, in incredible fashion. Even when he did every single thing wrong, apart from get up the hill, he still got up the hill and won the Arkle.
Yeah, and whatever anyone says, the bare form of that Arkle is looking a lot better now than it did at the time. We were all laughing about it at the time, but it had Load of Third and had Majba in it. Now, obviously, they didn't run up to their best, but nonetheless, he won it. He's boom or bust. He's boom or bust. I have a feeling that he could be a Nicky Henderson, make a couple of mistakes and pulled up horse, you know, sort of a Shishkin or a John Bond or one of those, you know, that you sort of really hope's gonna be the next big thing, but might not be. Or I think he's going to win it because I think he's going to absolutely relish the trip. I don't know which of those is going to happen. I think there's a chance he could make mistakes. I don't think he's as good a jumper as the Jukebox Man, for example. But I do think the rigours of a Gold Cup will suit him perfectly. Mm. I think he's an absolute cast iron stayer, and I think he likes Cheltenham. So if he jumps, I give him a massive chance. I just have it in the back of my mind that he's an accident waiting to happen, and I don't know why, really.
Yeah. So back to win later place, is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't do any of that, and I don't understand what you mean, but yes.
I mean, as in, like, there are some horses sometimes where, like you said, I think they'll either bolt up or it'll all go wrong. So, you know.
Do you think the same?
Well, I do think the same, but I think he's more likely bolt up because he's a Cheltenham horse, because he clearly does not make life easy for himself. However, he's a 7-year-old rated 167 who despite the fact that he doesn't make life easy for himself, is still a proper Grade One horse with huge tons of improvement, who is unbeaten at the track. So that it's not, you know, you're not hoping, oh, I hope he takes to this test or whatever. We know he's going to take to the test. It's just whether he can keep himself, you know, on the tails of the leaders enough so that he can use his superpower up the hill.
That's what I think. I'll put my cards on the table here.
Don't put them on your chest, Tom. Please.
Don't put them on my chest.
That's a completely different game of poker. Let's not do that.
I've backed Factor File, I've backed Django Bai, and I've backed Haiti Calore, all at big prices. So I feel like the Jukebox Man is going to win.
Yeah.
It's one of those, isn't it? It's one of those.
So you're in such a good position, you can't do anything but lose. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, it's just going to be disappointment, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to throw three more at you, Keels, quickly, because there are three others with genuine chances we haven't properly talked about. Last year's winner, of course, I had a look. There's only been two previous winners of the Gold Cup who've come back and run in the race, not necessarily the year before, but two horses have won a Gold Cup and then run in a Gold Cup, having not placed at all season. Bobsworth and Appleutard, and they both pulled up. So I can't help but feel that might happen again with I Know You, what you're thinking.
Some people say that Gold Cups can bottom horses, can't they? And I don't think that's overall true. And, you know, it hasn't happened to a lot of horses. I think it's happened to him. He hasn't looked anything approaching Gold Cup class on any of his starts this year. He's 16-1. If all these were to line up, it'd be twice that on the exchanges, I think. I just don't think he's got it in him anymore.
And then the other two are Spillane's Tower and Grey Dawning.
You can see them as, you know, potential outsiders. I mean, they've got their price, haven't they? I mean, I've always been a fan of Grey Dawning. I think he's a very good horse. He made his mistake at Cheltenham, and it just made me wonder that, you know, maybe he wasn't as ready. You know, Dan Skelton's priming him for this race and this race only, isn't he? So how ready was he that day? I was quite taken with the way he did run on after that mistake. Like, you know what I mean? Because he looked like he was completely beaten. It's not like he stopped to a walk or anything. So I think he's got a chance of turning it around if he doesn't make mistakes. They're both players. Spillane's Tower has come back from nowhere, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he literally showed nothing since running that half length second to Factor File best part of a year and a half ago now.
But that's good. That's good for it. I mean, he's the one in there who, you know, he's not going to bounce. He's not tired. He's not exposed. He's the one.
No, he's not. But he's still only beaten Lompress by half a length, getting £6, isn't he?
Yes.
Like, you know, let's not pretend that he's, you know, I mean, his best form is still a long way behind Grey Dawnings, for instance.
Yeah.
Like, you know, especially in the last 12 months or so. Like, you know what I mean? So he's got to come a long way forward from that, I think. Whereas we know Grey Dawning, and that's still unproven with him. So I definitely have Grey Dawning ahead of him in the betting, without thinking that they're the most likely winners, although I would say that it wouldn't surprise me if they won.
All right. The mythical pound then at the current prices, Keels. Again, I mean, you're probably going to have to, Dutch seven horses for about 15p each at this
rate. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'll have to find something to have a bet on the day, won't I? But I'm going to say the Jukebox Man.
All right.
I just like the fact that he travels and jumps. And if he puts all that in, it's just got to be there or thereabouts.
Okay. Tom?
Financially, I hope Haiti Calore wins, because that would be fantastic. And I think he might. He'd be my... Look, I wouldn't suggest backing him at 8-1, not now, because I think he'll be bigger on the day if Factor File runs. Yeah. But I like him. I just like everything about him. And if you throw that one run out at Haydock, I think he's just on an upward curve, isn't it? We're going up. We like horses going up, Ross.
We do. We don't like them coming down. Okay. I've been consistently warming to the Jukebox Man. He's the one I keep looking at thinking, I know he's going to run. I know he'll like it. The boxes are ticked. And again, if you did get a Valentine's card on Saturday, it wasn't from me, but next year, the Jukebox Man wins. It might be. In the chat, let's have a look. I think Factor File and Gaelic Warrior both turn up. Can't see which Richie turned down an opportunity for, says Nick Plater. Django Bay should be a horse that dominates the Grade One race at Ascot at John Bond, just one of the years to come. And Borat says, I think Django Bay might just hack up. And if it loses, I'll buy you a strong Irish whiskey. Fair enough. Lots of love for Django Bay on the chat, to be fair. And Tuco says, listen, Haiti will make all Denman style. It's all over approaching the third last. Eat my dust! Exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark, number one. You took your finger off shift a bit late. A bit early there, Tuco. Anyway, let's have a look at the Ryanair then, shall we? wait a second. It's Old Man Withers.
Rewind.
It's Factor File again at the top of the betting at 4-5. Gaelic Warrior, 5-4. Django Bay, 7-2. I wonder if anyone's got any opinion on those three horses. Then John Bonnet, 4s. Impere Pass, 6s. Romeo Coolio, 6s. Ilite Tomp, 7s. Banbridge, 8s. And bigger prices than the rest. And again, this is the one market Keels that makes absolutely no sense and won't do so until the decks are made.
Well, absolutely. And that's why you can see there, you see the bet in there. That's almost 190%, I think, maybe a bit more. And, you know, that's, you know that loads of those aren't going to run, but you don't know which ones. And that's the problem, isn't it? It's a terrible way to bet, especially if you're thinking about backing one of the front two. We've already established that both myself and Tom think there's a proper chance of the front two not running here. And then that makes it a massively different race, doesn't it? Because, you know, obviously 4-5, 5-4, that's 100% to start with. You know, and it suddenly becomes far more interesting. Now, you know, we've got to accept that one of them probably will. And then you're dealing with a very short price favourite, aren't you? But would you back either of them now?
No, God, no. Not in a million years, no.
Not in a million years. And then, you know, you take them two out and you've got a short price favourite in John Bond, who, as we've seen, can make his mistakes at Cheltenham, can't he? Fantastic horse. He's had two real hard races on the spin. Wouldn't be the biggest surprise in the world if he turned up and thumped a few, would it? Like, you know, so then, you know, it's almost 10 to 1 bar those. I thought Banbridge should be a shorter price than Hartwood. I know Hartwood was second to Factor File, but he just picked up the pieces right last year. He got thrashed, didn't he? Whereas Banbridge has only just been touched off in a King George, a race that he won a year earlier. He's a festival winner here over hurdles. He won an Arkle trial here. If he gets decent ground, he's just clearly a miles better horse than Hartwood. You know, if the top two don't run, I'd make him the most likely winner myself. So he would appeal. And one that I backed at a much, much bigger price in the hope that the front two would come out and I could nick a place was Matata for the Twist and Davies. Now, again, he could be one of those that has had his bounce and comes back and runs well at Cheltenham because he was dreadful last time in the Fleur-de-Lis at Windsor. But I think going 2.6 miles on deep ground at Windsor was completely different to going 2.5 miles at Cheltenham on much quicker ground. And he looked really good that day when he thrashed a handicap. You know, a Cheltenham specialist in Ilwa Doto giving him absolutely chunks of weight. And that was his first, you know, well, it's only his second crack at 2.5 miles, and he stayed it really, really well. He's run well in an Arkle. He's won here over fences before as well. So, you know, I thought he might run well at a price, but, you know, he's considerably more interest to me if the big two don't run.
Yeah, and I mean, again, that Windsor race, it was only 17 days after his win.
Yeah, I'm convinced he bounced. I mean, you know, the Twisters do like to run their horses. Doesn't always work, and I don't think it did then, but it'll have been freshened up, and I think he can run well.
Yeah, I disagree with you on the Hartwood-Banbridge debate, for a couple of reasons. One, because Banbridge is so, I mean, again, he's so dependent on conditions, isn't he? So at least Hartwood isn't. And you know you've got an eight-year-old who will turn up, he will run in this race, he will handle the track. He's, you know, the best place to start with any race at Cheltenham is last year's race. You know,
Yeah, I mean, that's what I said. I said if he gets good ground, he's a much better horse than Hartwood. But, you know, it's not a race I'm betting in now at those sort of prices anyway. But I think Banbridge is a much better horse than Hartwood if he's got the right conditions.
No, I was saying Hartwood's the bet.
The bet, yeah. I'm saying the better horse is Banbridge.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you want to have a bet now, then you're probably more likely to back Hartwood, aren't you? Because like you said, he's not ground dependent. But on the day, I'd be all over Banbridge if it wasn't soft.
Yeah. But I'd still have Hartwood shorter in the betting because he's more likely to. If I was
but the point is, it won't be if it goes the other way around, will it?
Yeah, you know, but I'm talking about now.
Yeah, but so he's already underpriced then, isn't he? He's shorter than horses that are better than him. Yeah. So why would you be that confident in backing him?
Because I'd rather back a horse shorter than better than other horses. If the other horses don't run, you lose your money. Look.
Just out of interest, boys. He's not even on the. He's not even on the board. There.
I think he's an 8-1 shot anyway. Look, I think he's a bit too. He's another one, Tom, that I said earlier in the year that he was a big prize at 16s, that he would run a big race in this, and then haven't backed him, obviously. But again, he was a 7-year-old. He'd never run at Cheltenham last year, and he was 9 lengths behind Factor File. Yes, he did pick up the pieces. But we've seen De Bromhead do that with plenty of horses, and then come back next year and get ever stronger. Obviously, Henry's record in the race is very, very strong. He's run 15 horses, 2 have won, another 5 have placed. So 50% of the horses he runs hit the frame. He's better than ever. He bolted up back on New Year's Day as well. And again, when Henry's horses haven't been winning very many races, I think Hartwood's got a big chance here. I know people say he's not, but again, the front three might not run. John Bond's. He's getting on a bit and might bounce after the run the other day. Ilatetant, Banbridge, half of them won't run.
Let me tell you, Ross, I did this for the Racing Post the other day. There are 26 entries and only 3 of the trainers said they were targeting the race. 23 of them were looking at other races.
Wow.
Only 3 of them. Banbridge, he said he might go to entry. Better Days Ahead was going to the Irish National. Croke Park, he can go where he likes, doesn't really make any difference. Edwardston's about older than me. Energamine's older than me. Envoy Allen, he said he's going for the Gold Cup. That might change. Factor File, who knows where that's going to go. Firefox, is he going to run in this after staying on in the Irish Gold Cup? Don't know. He said he was a possible. Founder 50, same ownership. That's not going to run. Gaelic Warrior, who knows what's going to Handstands, that's not going to run, I'm told. Hartwood, Ilete Tomp's not going to run. Imay Pat's not going to run. Jaguar's going for a handicap. Django Bay is not going to run. John Bond, they say he's going to run. Will he really run? Don't know. JPR 1 might run now after he's run at Musselboro. Master Chewy ran last year, so he could run, but who knows. Matata, he's not good enough. Protectorat's not going to run. Solness not going to run. Thistleart's not going to run. Twinjet's not going to run. Panatak's going for the mares. Who's left? Nothing. Romeo Coolio is another one. He's not going to run.
Well, Hartwood, there you go. That makes even surely. It's going to be a walkover for Hartwood.
But the problem is, where Keels is right, is that some of them will run, and therefore your Hartwood bet will look. I've done this so many times. Do you remember when Votor one came into the race? I can't remember what I was on. The horse that finished second in the National and actually won the race, Balco de Flo.
Yeah.
I think I was on him at a very big price. And suddenly Votor came in and I backed him at 10. He was 20s on the day. I didn't want to be on him. I wanted to be as far away from him as he could. So that's why I agree with Keels. I don't want to get involved in the market now because it's going to be a completely different race on the day. If you're lucky and none of them run and you're left with Hartwood, then you've got a good bet. Of course you have. But if any of them run, if any of the top 4 or 5 in the market, I'm not sure Hartwood is a good bet.
Yeah.
So it's a really, really tricky market to get involved in. Where I think you're right is that Hartwood is an improving horse. He's going to give his running. Mm. Whether 8-1 really represents, I mean, I think he's a 20-1 shot if Factor File runs.
Yeah.
Deep
no,
down.
You're right. He's the horse that you should definitely back on. But everyone will write him off and he's just a horse I like because everyone writes him off. Oh, he's not good enough. He's not good enough. He needs to improve. Horses improve all the time. And, you know, I didn't see that coming. Him getting up and beating so-and-so by a head. And he'll run a big race. I just know he'll run a big race. But the problem, like you said, look, even if, for example, I've wanted to see John Bond in Ryanair for about 2 seasons now. But is it the best move, Tom, for a horse who's never won at the festival, who notoriously finds Cheltenham difficult for whatever reason, to run twice in the calendar year, both in really in really testing ground and then Upton Trip for the first time, both at a stiff track at Ascot, giving quite a hard race, is that the best prep for having to try and win your first festival race?
Undoubtedly not. And he's a 10-year-old that I don't think beating Pictoria length and a half nearly, you know, isn't good enough normally. It wouldn't be anywhere near good enough to win, to beat Factor File or Gaelic Warrior or Django Bay. You know what I mean? So, I don't know.
Hell is the bet then, Tom? What's the horse?
Well, you can't possibly have a bet now because everything changes. I mean, I had to do it a few weeks ago and clearly made a complete fool of myself by tipping Romeo Coolio at 25-1 because I thought they would see what we're seeing and think that if Factofile and Gaelic Warrior don't run and Django Bay doesn't run, I have a horse running over its exactly right trip in a race that he can win. In a much worse race probably than the Arkle and a much worse race than the Brown Advisory that he'd have a chance of winning. But Irish trainers clearly don't like running novices out of their comfort zone. Who knows? If he was to run in this, I'd give him a shot because he's had four chases. He's barely touched a twig in any of them. This is his right trip. You know what I mean? He could be a proper Gold Cup horse, an Imperial Commander who won this and went on to the Gold Cup, an Aplutard who ran over 2.5 miles and went on to the Gold Cup, not this race, but he could be one of those. So I'd like to see him run in this. I get the impression there's absolutely no chance he's going to run in it. So that's...
Tom, is just because, you know, you said earlier you think you can't work out Irish trainers. How much is it just, you know, just to annoy you?
Well, it's not to... Well, I just don't get them. Don't get them. Every other trainer runs novices in... Emmett Mullins won a Grand National with a novice. Thistlecrack won a King George as a novice. Coney Gree won a Gold Cup as a novice. It's not as bad. Django Bay had 3 runs before he won in the King George. Romeo Coolio's run 4 times over fences. Do you know what I mean? It's just I don't agree with that way of thinking, but they do. That's their, you know, that's fine. We all make our decisions in life and go about our own way, don't we?
So let's try and tie this up because this is obviously part of the reason why we've done this straight after the Gold Cup is because it is such a chaotic mix in with the Gold Cup. But I mean, first off, two quick things for me. One, if I own Factofile, I would run him in this. I wouldn't run him in the Gold Cup. I think people forget sometimes they're animals, and people maybe sort of, give him a proper test in the Gold Cup straight after winning at Leopardstown. I don't know. Part of me would, if I owned him, would still love to see him bolt up in this on the bridle by 8 lengths. I'd get a lot of joy from that if he was my horse. But I do think Hartwood's going to run a big race, but we've gone through that. So that's my two opinions.
Honestly, I think Factofile will end up running in this race because they took him out for a reason. I think they'll think, you know, that this is a race for him. So I think he'll end up running. And if he runs, he'll win. Simple as.
And Keels, can you wrap all of this into a bow for us, please?
First of all, I think you're a soft git for saying you'd run him there and you're part of what's wrong with racing. Over gold. Be a brilliant Gold Cup, wouldn't it? I think one of the two will end up running there, probably him. But I would back Bambridge. If Bambridge gets a go ahead, then it will be on his ground. You've got to remember how well he went in that Gold Cup until his stamina gave way. He does like this track. And for me, if the big two don't go, then he's the one to beat. And you've got to remember, he was right on the heels of, right next to Gaelic Warrior in the King George, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But just in front of him. And ahead of Factofile.
I think he's got the best form. I agree with Keels of those.
Yeah. If he gets a player, and because it's the Ryanair and it doesn't get 16 runners and they don't go a million miles an hour like some of the other great ones at the festival, then 10-year-olds can win it.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Thanks, guys. Can't wait to see the 4 and a Ryanair chase at the Cheltenham Festival in March. Very quickly, oh dear. 100% Ross Factofile runs here and likely wins, says Rob Dixon. 8 of the past 12 winners had a break of 47 plus days, says Dal Singh. I'm not throwing trends at Tom. He's already lost his mind on this race. It's too late for that. And John Bond should go champion chase again. Everything went wrong for him last year, says Muga. Right, a couple more races for you in just a second. But don't forget to check out the Racing Post new Racing Unfiltered series if you haven't done so already. That's available on the YouTube channel. It was uploaded on Saturday, taking you behind the scenes of Lambourne with a different episode each week leading up to the Grand Nationals. That's every Saturday, 6 p.m. on the YouTube channel. And the link is in the description. Go behind the scenes of people who know, know a lot more about horses than we do. So there you go, but in a different way. That's coming up every Saturday from 6 p.m. running up to the Grand National. Okay, The 2:40 at Cheltenham on the Friday is the Mare's Chase. Dino Blue 6-4, Spindlebury 130, Panic Attack 11-2, Only By Night 13-2, The Big Western at 8, Steve Aluna 9, Jade Agruji 10s, July Flower 10s, and bigger prices the rest. At least we know all these horses will run Keels. Oh no, wait, no we won't. But look, at least we've got a favourite that we're almost certain will turn up. Dino Blue is looking to be the first horse of admittedly not many to win the Mare's Chase 2 years on the bounce.
Yeah, there haven't been many runnings of this, has there? I was looking at her the other day. I think the last time she got beat in a Mare's race was in this race 2 years ago. And that's the thing, isn't it? She's very, very, very good in her own company. She's had the perfect prep, winning a couple of Mickey Mouse races really easily. I think she's going to take an awful lot of beating, isn't she?
You think so? Again, I mean, there's there's question marks about the next few in the betting for various reasons, Keels. I mean, Spindleberry, obviously, again, it's not ideal to have a clearly negative experience and pull up over a staying trip before you're going to the festival.
Yeah, an overstaying trip, but it wasn't the staying trip, was it? I mean, she was well beaten. It was not much past halfway, was it? I mean, it was just an inexplicably bad run. She's got to bounce back from that. But again, like you said, quite a few of the Mullins horses that have been well fancied and run badly at Leopardstown have come back to Cheltenham and run really well. But I still think she's got to improve again to beat Dino Blue, and you go further down. Panic Attack, she's been looked really great in handicaps this year. It's another big step up, isn't it? I mean, she's only rated 147 still. And what else is there? I know Tom quite likes Diva Luna. Is that right, Tom? Mm.
Yeah, I just listen. When you get given these races, you know, a few weeks, it's quite hard to tip Dino Blue at 6-4. Yeah. You know, 6 weeks before the race, and it's going to be 6-4 on the day. You know, no one wants to tie up their money at 6-4 on a mare in a chase. You know, at that time, so you're sort of looking for the alternatives. Spindlebury's got the full penalty. Dino Blue has a little penalty. Spindlebury has to give weight to Dino Blue. She didn't go a yard. She didn't jump. Nothing went right. So she's sort of off the list. I love Panic Attack. I think she is just the best jumper of a fence. It's an absolute joy watching her. I watched the Coral Gold Trophy again the other day, and people talked about her jumping at Newbury the following time. You watch her through that. She is absolutely magic. She's mustered at her fences. Yeah. I think she can run well. Whether she's good enough to beat Dino Blue, I don't know. The Big Best of All won't run. Only By Night's got a stamina doubt about it. I just thought I'd send Ben Pauling your Valentine's card if Divina Luna runs, Ross, simply because I just thought she was really good on her debut. I love the way she jumped. She was third in the novice hurdle here last year, but Ben Pauling was saying she was never right last year. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong, and he surprised him with how well she ran at the festival last year. I just think she stays 2.5. She jumps really well. Just don't know how good she is. Let's not forget she won the Aintree Bumper, you know, really, really easily.
She absolutely, that day, it was a one-horse race, wasn't it?
Exactly.
It was phenomenal.
She absolutely bolted up. She's got a ton of ability. Now, she had a little mishap, which means she missed the Scilly Isles. So I'm told it's not a race against time to get her there. I'm pretty sure that the Paulings think they'll get her there, no problem. But she did have a little mishap that made her miss the Scilly Isles. But the fact that she was going to run in the Scilly Isles, a grade one, suggests how highly they rate her. I just thought, against the favourite, and let's not beat around the bush, Dino Blue's run twice and he got beat by Limerick Lace and then was a length. She was going to win last year, but she was only a length in front when Allegory Devassi fell at the last. Yep. She's very good, but she's not unbeatable. We've seen that before in this race. So I was looking for something against her, and I thought that the one horse that I just didn't know how good she could be, but has the star potential, was Diva Luna.
Diva Luna, then, currently a 9-1 shot. The only other one I kept looking at was Jade DeGruji, Tom, because I mean she's been to Cheltenham twice. She finished fourth in the Mare's Novice, where, don't forget, Golden Ace was first and Brighter Days Ahead was second. And then she finished second in the Mare's last year, where the only horse who beat her was Lossy Mouth. So if she runs into an absolute top-class Grade 1 mare, she gets beat. But she absolutely murdered them at Thurles last time out. She's coming in off the back of a career best, despite not having a hard race, if you know what I mean. It's a perfect combination. Seven-year-old mare. Mullins has had the 1-2 in this twice, I think, and would have had the 1-2 last year as well. So I thought she had a chance.
She definitely has a chance. She's just part of the chips that could fall in the champion hurdle, I think. I think if Lossy Mouth was to go to the champion hurdle, she will run in the hurdle again. That's my feeling.
Okay.
So that's maybe where why she's the price she is.
Yeah.
She's one of those. She's a Mullins chip, if you know what I mean. That could go either way. July Flower's quite interesting. She jumps really well, didn't she? I think she'll enjoy the step up in trip, but she sort of blotted her copybook a bit last time. But it was a good race.
Yeah. And Keels, anything else to add?
No, I was going to mention Jade DeGruyge. I thought she could be a little bit cumbersome at the fences at times, but she is learning. And if she goes there, she'll run a big race. But I am struggling, really, to find a rock-solid case for opposing the jolly, should she get there.
Okay, fair enough. Right, one more race to come, which is the Albert Bartlett. But again, I just want to remind her that we are partnered with Boyle Sports, and you can sign up in the link in the description down below for new customers. Bet £10, you get £40 in free bets and money back, second to FP, SP, FAV at selected meetings. Right, the last one we're going to look at is the Albert Bartlett Novices Hurdle. Again, an incredibly tough race to predict at any point of the preview circuit, never mind during the race. But Dr. Steinberg is a clear favourite here at 11-4. The Devil You Know, 6-1. No drama this end is 8-1. Sortudo is 12s with Espresso Milan, and I'll sort that. 16-1 Apache Tri, which we mentioned earlier on, and Kaczynski, and then bigger prices the rest. Dr. Steinberg is 11-4 favourite here. De Leppestown race that he won, Tom. Winners of that race are 0-8, coming to the Albert Bartlett, but horses that were beaten in that race are 5-29. So he did look good in that. He will have a very different test here, and the market has, well, it hasn't missed him for a race that isn't really a race you want to be piling in on a favourite, is it?
Listen, I'm not a trends guy, so I get that everyone says you've got to go for these nutty ones, but it tends to be the best horse. You know, Monty's Star was 50-1 when he won it. You know, he ended up winning a Gold Cup. The Jukebox Man was beaten in this race. When he was 20-1, 25-1, was he? I can't remember. But do you know what I mean?
Manelarindo, by the way. Is that what you said?
Manelarindo. That's the one. Sorry. But do you know what I mean? So what it is no one, none of them have had the race conditions like they're going to get in this. A strongly run 3 miles. There are very few 3 mile races for novices. So no one's. And so when it comes to the race, all these horses are doing something different, which is why you get so many strange results. But the best horses in history over the years, and obviously there's some weird ones, come to the fore, I think. And so in any race, I'm looking for the best horse. Dr. Steinberg's form, I just thought he pulled too hard. Whether it was the way the race was run, because that DRF race was so slowly run that maybe he just couldn't help himself going so slowly, and in a stronger run race over 3 miles he would settle. But that's something I don't know. I wouldn't back him at 11-4. The race was, I thought it was a really rubbish race, that DRF 2 miles thick, the Nathaniel and whatever it's called race. I didn't like him. No drama this end, obviously going to run. So you can make a case for loads of them. Of course you can. There's loads doing different things, but I've had a million guesses at this race over the years, and every single one's not come right because there's so many horses in that boat.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know which one's going to take that step forward. So I don't want to go down that road anymore. I'm bored of doing that. I lose every year. What I want to do is go for horses that I think have the form to win the race. And the two that struck out for me were the Devil You Know, who beat Skylight Hustle, was second to Dr. Steinberg, but he gave Dr. Steinberg the run of the race in a slowly run race at the two start, and then came out at Doncaster and absolutely bolted up. He was my number one choice. And the second one was I'll Sort That, because he's won a grade one. He seems to stay forever. He jumps okay. He's won every hurdle race he's been in. You know, I can make a case for loads of them, you know, stepping up and being a totally different horse over 3 miles, but I get it wrong every year. So I'm going to stick with what I know. And I know that the Devil You Know stays, has won over 3 miles. Paul Nolan has a very good race in the race twice. He's gone very close, Sandor Clegane and latest exhibition. both went very close to winning it. I think he's going to run a really big race, and I just like Allsort that as a horse. I just think he's tough, good. I can't see any reason why he won't stay 3 miles. So they were my two. I'd throw in Apache Tribe, who we talked about earlier, because I was so impressed with him. But you can make a case for loads, and I'm sure Keels has got two or three really snazzy ones up his sleeve, as probably you have, Ross.
Well, let's see what Keels has got up his short orange sleeves. What have you got, Keels?
I wouldn't say I've got loads. I'd say that the one I like the most is Spinning a Yarn. Now, he's Gordon Elliott, 6-year-old. He's a point winner. He won a 3-mile point on every ground. He's a bumper winner. He's won his last two hurdles, won easily. Turned form around with Parnell from the first time when he won at Punchestown in January. And he just looks like an out-and-out stayer. He's gone from the front, and he's looked stronger and stronger as he's gone on. Pedigree tells you that he's going to stay, surely. He's by Ascot Gold Cup winner, Order of St. George. The Dam is a half-sister to Sam Spinner, who won a long walk and was second in the Stayers' Hurdle. So I think he's in absolute certainty to improve for going up the 3 miles. And I think he's likely to be a major player. He interests me a lot at 20-1, put it that way, or when he was 20-1. I think he's a bit short there, isn't he? But yeah, he's a horse that interests me a lot. Skeletons do seem to like Money Garrow. I think he's got an awful lot to prove himself, but you know, they're quite happy that he's their one for that rather than Dawson Ladd. But the other one I thought was half interesting. Was at a big price, the British thing that was second to No Drama This End, because he'd been a big baby all the time.
Klimt Madrick?
Klimt Madrick, yeah. He'd been a big baby since he started racing, basically. He had no idea what he was doing first time up at Frost Lash. Learned a fair bit, turned the form around next time, and then ran even better when second to No Drama This End. Again, it was a slow run race. He came from the back, he came through, and he just got up for second. I thought that was a good run. I think he'll stay. He interests me at a price.
All right, okay. Klimt Madrick then, who is, well, what is he? About 20-1, is he? 16-1, 20-1?
I believe something like that.
Yeah, I think he's a 20-1.
The thing is, at these, as far as Klimt Madrick is concerned, he'll be bigger on the day than he is now. These prices are so tight. This race will have 20 runners. Because it virtually always does. Mm-hmm. And he's from a trainer with no Cheltenham Festival pedigree, with a British trained horse that's going to be running against a load of Irish. So he'll be a bigger price on the day. So I certainly wouldn't back him now.
No, fair enough. Yeah, I mean, I love the novice hurdles, but it's too hard to pick anything obvious out. The first one I had in mind was Sortudo. I thought he got outspeeded and Allsort that basically was given a great ride at Nace. He took all the hurdles out in the home straight. He just galloped and galloped and galloped. I thought he would be interesting. He looked like he would get up the hill quite strongly. And the other one that interests me at big price is Jalon Duderi, who was sent off 3-1 favourite for the bumper last year, the year before, beaten by Jasmine DeVoe, beaten by Sortudo back in November, beaten by Frankie John, disappointed on those two efforts, but then came out at Nace a week and a half ago and won by 27 lengths, admittedly not in a good race, but again, a horse who's coming into this almost fulfilling his potential. It's about a 50-1 shot, I think, for Gordon Elliott, so he looks a little bit big. But, I mean, yeah, again, it'll be a completely different market on the day, Tom.
Yeah, and as I say, I mean, you go back through it and Jasmine DeVoe was a bumper winner. You know, Stella Story had run in Grade 1, Stay Away Faye had been second in the River Don. Do you know what I mean? Monkfish was Monkfish. Manila Indo won and went on to win a Gold Cup. At the end of the day, Penn Hill went on to win a Stayers Hurdle and won this. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, you're looking for the best horse. At this point, it's so blinking hard to know what the best horse is because none of them have been put under the circumstances they're going to be put under. I've changed my tactic this year. I used to have a crack at a pedigree and a horse that had won a maiden, see what happened. And I lost my shirt on the Albert Barlett every single year. I never, ever found the winner. So I've changed my tag. I've gone for horses with form because those are the ones I know. And at least I'm not sort of making assumptions about horses that I don't know about. So I've gone for horses with form. As you guys have pointed out, there are loads that could win. But I'm getting old.
Are he's getting
old. His battery's run out.
Kielsey's, I think, never mind getting old. I think we've lost Tom. He's left this mortal coil there.
I'm back. I'm here, aren't I?
Sorry, I thought you got struck by a bolt of lightning there, Tom. You literally said, "I'm getting old," and then froze like you had nothing else to give.
Yeah.
You're getting old, Tom. And can you remember the rest of the sentence?
Yeah, I'm trying to cut out bad bets.
Yeah.
I think I've spent my life making assumptions about horses. And listen, this is the race, one race in the calendar I've probably done worse in than loads of others. Yeah. You know, I just don't never get the winner. So I'm gonna try and stick to what I know. And I've backed the Devil, you know, who I think was a 10-1 shot at the time, and I'll sort that, who were 16, just because they've won, they're good horses. I know that.
Again, Tom, you can't back more winners, but you can back less losers. So, right, okay. That just about brings the show to an end. So of all the races we've previewed tonight, the Mythical Pound for the evening, Mr. Paul Keighley, would be on?
Yeah, I'm going to make the assumptions that Tom don't like making, and I'm going to assume that spinning a yarn is going to improve dramatically for 3 mile.
All right, okay. Tom, what about you?
Well, the one that I most want to win is Haiti Calor. The one I think is most likely to win is the Devil, you know, in the race we just talked about.
All right, okay. And I think Heartwood will beat the other three horses that turn up. Or at least give them a race. Let's hope Heartwood finishes third of four who turn up in the Ryanair at the very least for the wonderful Mr. Henry de Bromhead. Okay, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. And before we go, are we going to play it on the way out? Or are we going to play it and then respond to it, Sam? Yeah, yeah. And Kiel's a reminder, when you were a younger man. Look at this. Mr. Tippy arriving at the races. Look at you.
Oh, dear, I was younger then, weren't I?
You were. Look, that is, you are fresh-faced and I don't know, how old are you there, Kiel's?
I don't know. It's got to be a dozen years ago now, at least.
64?
Yeah, about that.
Unbelievable stuff, yeah. But if you do see Kiel's driving down your street in an ice cream van at any time in the future, he's finally lost it. he's stolen that ice cream van. Right, cheers, Kiel's. Cheers, Tom.
Cheers, bud.
Thanks, everyone, for watching.
Thanks, guys.
If you haven't done so already, like, subscribe, comment below. Good night.